1991. Time is 8:41. We have a quorum with Representatives Miller, Baker, Moyer, and Cadena. Today we'll be taking up HCR 17 relating to the Task Force on Governmental Roles, House Bill 167 relating to absentee voting, HCR 10 relating to Alaska Garden Week. Since we are just barely have a quorum, we do have Exxon Valdez settlement meetings going on. I'm going to attempt to move somewhat rapidly, and if we have any problems with any bills, we will be holding them. Let's do Garden Week real quick. Here, Representative Hudson, Landon. First item on the agenda is HCR 10, a resolution by Representative Hudson declaring June 2nd through the 8th, 1991, of Alaska Garden Week. Landa, briefly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Landa Holton. I work for Representative Bill Hudson. I'm here today to testify on HCR 10. Seeks to establish the week of June 2 through 8, 1991, as Alaska Garden Week. The resolution sets forth most of my testimony, except for the fact that there is no fiscal note or any impact to the state, although the gardening efforts in Alaska generate an industry resulting in approximately $20 million. I could go farther if you like.
Which is the committee?
Well, this is, Mr. Chairman, see the word tourism. I think this should be remanded back to my committee. I would move that
out of order.
That we pass from the State Affairs Committee HCR 10 to English recommendations.
Any objection? Hearing no objections, HCR 10 has been moved from the committee. And so Representative Hudson, he owes a speak on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
I didn't remember that we call it
a
garden.
Next item on the agenda, we'll take up HCR 17 by Representative Boyer, establishing a task force on governmental roles. Representative Boyer, would join us. Representative Boyer.
This is one of the smallest microphones that I've ever been able to speak into.
You have a big voice and you only need a small microphone.
That's right. Mr. Chairman, thank you and thank members of the committee for quickly scheduling this bill. The bill is, our HCR 17 was introduced by the Finance Committee. Chiefly at my recommendation, and I had originally kind of thought through this process of whether or not, in fact, we needed another task force to look at almost anything. But in this particular area, was reminded of how the state of Alaska responds to continued federal mandates in the areas of Medicaid, for instance, and how little intergovernmental working goes on between the federal government and the state government, and yet feds continue to push onto the states millions and millions and millions of dollars of responsibilities with fairly tight strictures, and you know, we have to deal with it, and I know how I feel and how the rest of the legislature feels given those kinds of federal mandates. And so I became a little more sympathetic to the need, literally, to have an intergovernmental kind of partnership, a fiscal issues partnership at the very least, and kind of brought me back to focusing on the need to examine the roles, the various roles of the state, federal, and local governments as they continue to do their business. But specifically, why another task force? The real issue is budget-driven. The legislature is going to continue to ratchet down state spending. That's going to affect local governments. And I mean, just look at the budget that was proposed by the governor. When we walked in the door, he'd made reductions in municipal assistance, the Educational Foundation formula, Class 3 roads, health and social services block grants. Those are mirrored by reductions that Governor Cooper had made, but the direction is clear that we will continue to look at making those reductions in the kind of formula-driven side of the budget as well as the operating side of the budget for the foreseeable future, and we can either plan for those reductions or we can do them in a haphazard fashion. local governments will be required to either eliminate many of the things that we've asked them to do where they can eliminate them, where they're not prescribed, proscribed by law from doing those things, are prohibited by law, rather, from stopping or eliminating those services, or they're going to have to come up with local ability, local funding to do some of those things, not the least of which, again, Mr. Chairman, are roads, water, sewer, solid waste management, facilities, repair and renovations, public safety, social services, and economic development. All of those areas are things that we've talked about yesterday on the floor. Those issues came up in the budget discussions. Fire protection, hillside troopers, those issues will continue to be there, and they pop up, they manifest in the budget process. Diversifying the economy will not provide the state of Alaska the continued wherewithal to continue funding these things either. That's not, I mean, putting more money into tourism or more money into fisheries or more money into any other kind of economic endeavor will not provide the state the revenue to continue doing those things. They have other benefits, but they don't put more money into the state coffers, so that's not an alternative that I think is available to us. And absent a clear delineation of duties and responsibilities and the roles and a clear plan, the legislature and the governor will continue to make decisions based on either political power or sheer will and force. And that the public and its institutions, I think, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, are poorly served by that type of decision making. It's a purely budget-driven public policy, and it's the wrong way to make public policy in the 1990s. That the shifting more responsibility, more programs, and more authority requires, I think, an even closer scrutiny and closer attention to the whole process. There are clearly inherent conflicts built into our constitutional system where we have overlapping responsibilities and competing governments. That increases the pressure, and I think that with something like this task force is envisioned in HCR 17, we begin to offer the local governments a partnership approach to ratcheting down over the next decade. And Mr. Chairman, rather than spending any more time, perhaps I could answer questions. The primary purposes begin on line 16 on page 1 and run through line 23. They kind of cover the broad panoramic of the things that I think that the task force should be looking at. Just to touch for a moment, if I can, though, on the membership and staffing, because it isn't specifically clear in the resolution, although I think the fiscal note that we've proposed makes that a little bit clearer. We are still working on the structure of the task force and the staffing. I personally feel that the money ought to come out of the capital budget, that the governor's proposed capital spending to municipalities that has clearly acknowledged this ship as Class 3 roads, which I think we're not going to entertain, but as Class 3 roads, $35 million appropriation capital budget recognizes a desire by the administration to shift that responsibility. This 50-50 capital match program, again, reflects the interest of the administration doing that. And I think it's probably appropriate, as much as we're looking at this as a project of durational nature, that we look at it on the capital side of the budget and not become institutionalized in the operating budget or in the base of the budget, and that it should have an independent director, not influenced specifically by the legislature or by the municipal league, but have some autonomous ability to make some tough decisions, but be obviously answerable directly to the task force itself, and that we should have a specific project staff. We've done this a number of times with a couple of projects that we're involved with now. The Medicaid options for community home-based care is a project within Health and Social Services that has a defined group of staff associated with it and funded specifically for that task. There have been others like that, and I think that at a minimum, the specified project staff, we should have a project staff in the OMB, Office of Management Budget, and also the Community Regional Affairs. Those two pieces of government clearly are areas that have the expertise and the background and are driven by the dollars in the case of OMB. But those specific project staff would be answerable to the task force and specifically to the director and not the, the commissioners or the directors of those offices. And the I think that we need to speak about, at least in the intent or perhaps even physically in the task force resolution, talk about technical working group people. At a minimum, I think you need to make sure that as a technical group of working people that we include a municipal attorney, a municipal finance director, a municipal manager. When I say municipal, I mean the large and small sense of it as we know it in Alaska. And also someone from DEC with water and sewer type of experience and background, someone from DOT, someone from social services, someone from public safety, and perhaps someone with a very specific knowledge of public facilities. With that kind of technical working, any technical working group of that nature, I think that the task force can be can focus on some very discrete issues and work through them and come up with recommendations that we've tried to outline in the purposes section that will be meaningful. If we don't take this seriously, nothing will change. Nothing will change, and we won't be prepared, local governments won't be prepared for what it is that government's going to do to them. And if governments, the local governments aren't prepared, the public outrage will be considerable. And it's my hope that we can avoid, at least in small part, some of that outrage. Mr. Chairman, I would just leave you with a quote from John Herbers, who wrote recently for Governing Magazine. And I'll just quote directly. He says, "The American system of government is so extensive and complex that making it run well requires constant examination. That, in turn, rests on the availability of information that will make valid assessments possible. If a government fails to provide adequate information, it harms itself and ultimately the public, too." I tend to agree with that statement. Thought it might be a good way to maybe focus this before I answer questions.
First of all, the record should show that we've been joined by Representative Bruckman and Joe Katz. Why don't you have federal government involved in this, since you specifically mentioned them many times? Why aren't we trying to include someone from the federal government on the task force?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it sometimes in the drafting of things you go overly broad, and I think this task force probably needs to be more specifically narrowed, and I would exclude the federal issues and focus, if I can, on our own backyard for a while. So in the committee process, I am going to recommend that we exclude the references specifically to the federal government and also exclude the references to education issues. The federal issues and the educational issues will so distract us from what it is that I think we ought to be focusing on, because they're large, tremendous in scope and conflict, that I would hate to see us bogged down. So in the initial drafting, those two areas were included, and I think they need to be excluded from our exercise here.
Another question is, this sort of a partnership through AML and whatnot, why can't, as on page three, why can't AML people, why can't the cities at least handle their own travel costs and per diem costs, make it a partnership? It seems like if you have, if they're contributing, why sometimes it seems to make them, people feel that they're more really part of the process and not just being paid to come along.
Mr. Chairman, I fully expect that as this moves through the process, we'll find a that kind of partnership emerge. And I think, in fact, we originally pitched the idea to the Municipal League that they financially contribute up front and at some kind of an assessment of their membership, and that may still be possible.
Representative Moyer.
Thanks, Chairman. And if that were the case, we expect to see the fiscal note, but I see they estimated the cost of $300,000. I realize yours is for 18 months, but it still makes it 50% more than what they estimated.
Mr. Chairman, I think that we've had an evolution of thinking since then. Yesterday, I did meet with Municipal League people and members from OMB and Community and Regional Affairs. And in rethinking this, and knowing how the process works on the Finance Committee, too, I expect that this will come down. I wanted to come in with what I thought was a very real and separate approach to this thing. I think you need to have people who are outside of the process. We can clearly say, this is something we could handle internally. We could have our own affairs staff handle this thing. We could have our own research people involved, and we expect that will occur. We don't clearly need to fund the OMB or the DCRA analysts there, but if we don't fund them as discrete project people, they'll end up doing everything else other than this, and it won't be taken seriously. We won't get to the answers. And what I've seen is that a project-driven budget does result in clearly defined results. And that's why we've presented it this way, and that's why it's different than AML. That was early thinking, and this is more refined thinking on where we want to go. So it's a larger fiscal number, and I expect that it will come down.
Representative Showcast.
Chairman, Representative Boyer, is it your intention to have this committee work on this fiscal number at this time? I agree with the chairman. I think it's a good bill. I surely have a problem with the fiscal note.
I'm sure that the Office of Management and Budget will have a problem with the fiscal note, too. The problem is government doesn't like to fund this kind of thing. something none of us want to fund. We expect that it's going to be paid for out of somebody else's hide, and that these things don't happen by magic. The massaging that's necessary for local governments, that's why I suggested it come out of the capital budget. There are going to be capital dollars we know clearly available to go to local governments, and that's where I see the local governments participating too, is in the cap office. You offset what it is that would go to those local governments on the capital budget and pay for it here and not internalize it in the operating budget.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe this piece of legislation is a good thing, but I'm thinking back here just a few years ago. What makes you think the legislature is going to listen to anything in this report?
Well, I think you involve, what we hope to do is involve the four legislative people on the task force, and you would hope, what I hope is to have people who have in our body prior experience in municipal government or school board kinds of things, and who have a credibility, therefore, in those areas. And we tend to listen to people who bring their own experience to the body more than we listen to someone else. I mean, Mark Boyer's never served on a municipal assembly or city council or any of those things, and so I don't have any credibility in this area, but there are people in our midst who have this kind of experience and would bring, I think, a different level of credibility. And when you've worked through and massaged the process for 18 months and you get the municipalities involved, and I urge them, too, not to appoint people to the task force that don't have wide credibility and wide support and wide political appeal within their organization, municipal league, to be able to bring our attention to bear on this. So it'll be a very political process in that sense. You need to have people with the ability to persuade this body and, frankly, to work with the governor's office, or otherwise, again, it probably will not work. It has to be very serious.
Well, I go back to 83, 84, where we basically had a task force somewhat mm-hmm. similar to this, a number of legislators on it, a number of local government officials, members out of PNRA, members out of Department of Revenue. We put together a pretty good report on taxation and the like, pretty much like that. The legislature took one look at it. Well, this really is not going to be our agenda, so I think it may be a good idea, but whether the legislature will look at it or take any of the considerations seriously, that is another matter, and we may end up finding that this $620,000 down the rat hole. So with that in mind, I guess I kind of have a hard time with it, knowing mm-hmm. that the legislature may take some of it serious. Chances are they probably will not, because we tend to do our own thing anyway, as you well know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really into throwing another $600,000 on another back hole.
Mm-hmm. Prevention is something that's hard to sell. It's hard to sell today. It's hard to sell yesterday. It'll be hard to sell tomorrow. But this is what this is prevention. And timing is everything. In 1983, we had, as I recall that year, a $1,200,000,000 capital budget being proposed in 1983. Everything, the surface of the earth looked different then. And it looks radically different, you know, today. And I would guess that it's going to look radically different at the time that the report from this group is made, and that we will be bound to make some of these, what I think will be fundamental changes and shifts in responsibility, and provide local governments with some tools that we probably didn't feel were necessary when the Title 29 rewrite and work was being done in the early part of the 80s. We will probably have to trust the local governments to give them some additional powers and authority that we wouldn't have given them in 1983. We'll literally be revisiting about 10 years later some of those issues, and I think that the legislature will have to respond differently than it did. Things look different. There was a lot more money on the table.
What makes you think that the position of the 5 AML people would not be full funding for education, full funding for municipal assistance, full funding for veterans, senior rent relief, full funding, et cetera, et cetera?
That's a good question for the AML candidates.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chairman.
Put your union hat on.
Let me cast Mark just a little history. Mike gave you one side of the history. I'll give you another, because Betty and I have been there. Mm-hmm. And from different sides of the fence, but certain, I mean, not different sides of the fence. We were on the same side of the fence, but we made those tough decisions. And we, as you did in Fairbanks, I might remind you, at your local government level, had to do exactly what you proposed. This is a good idea. We had to do it, but we had to do it within the structure that we operated. We took our own people. because frankly, you know, this is $600,000, and we looked at this and we on the local level and said, well, it's gonna, we go hire a few folks and it's gonna cost $100,000 or $200,000. Well, shoot, we need that money to help pay our bills with, and the same kind of applies here. It's not a bad idea, Mark, and in fact, it's a really good idea, but people inside government, and Ron Garzini's sitting back here, and I hope he's shaking his head. I'm not shaking it yet. But people inside government are willing to step up and to do this, and we can full staff people within inside the government that have the expertise, and people will get together and will help to make the process work. Because you know, you had a terrible time in Fairbanks, and you had to do a similar thing. But when you're looking at declining revenues, you want to leave every penny on the table to help fill the gap. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I have a real problem, is with the fiscal note, not the concept. Mm-hmm. And it's a good idea to pull them together, pull them outside, but it's already inside the government, and then set the agenda, because you really need to set the agenda. You're right there. But save the money, because you're going to need it to fill the empty piggy bank.
You might want to interject here. Maybe what we'll do is, if we have any more actual questions for Mark, and then let's hear from the ML people.
I can just read it.
You bet. And then we'll kind of focus in more on the discussion.
Yeah, perhaps more of a reflection or suggestion, simply that.
Come on up here, Mark.
You may be on to something in capital costs, Mark, that I think in finance you might consider. So kind of split funding source, since indeed the municipalities can benefit from both the operating and the capital budget, but it might be more appropriate to split the sources.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I have to confess that I've been just a little tied up with the operating budget for the last about 10 days and so, haven't had the specific time. We cranked this out last night and this morning, and I fully expected the response that I'm getting, and believe me, if it's like this here, you can appreciate what it's going to be when I take it to the Finance Committee. So it's with full expectation that we will rethink this and probably come up with some kind of a blend, some perhaps even program receipts authority, so that the AML members themselves can either financially contribute or in kind contribute, as Representative Baker has suggested. But I think we'll end up, and I welcome those members who've been on the municipal side of things to make some recommendations on the fiscal note. But I would hope that we not, with the expectation that it's going to change, that we not hold it up here, because it's picked up three committee referrals. It'll go to CNRA next, and then to finance. And I think it's something that we need to kind of get in the process and start working by the end of the session here.
Burgess.
Good morning.
We have
Burgess,
your
Municipal League.
We do have your position paper,
right,
and everybody
I'm not
see that in their packet.
I'm not going to read that. Scott Burgess with the Municipal League. I did want to indicate that we certainly appreciate the sponsor introducing the legislation. It is a platform issue, priority for the League. It's not a new issue. In fact, the Public Administration Service Report recommended the first legislature in 1959 that such a study be done. Nothing was done at that time. When I first became the League Director in 84, we had a resolution policy statement asking for a Blue Ribbon Commission. And in 1986, the National Conference of State Legislatures have recommended a similar approach. And here we are in 1991. I think that Representative Boyer has relayed a lot of the reasons why we think also that it's very important. Obviously, oil revenues are declining, with few options to replace those revenues easily. And the state, as well as federal and local government budgets, have increased perhaps beyond their fiscal capabilities to sustain those budgets, and certainly, as it was reflected by the public's acceptance to pay any more. And little policy analysis has occurred over the years that we've increased those budgets in terms of what services and which people are willing to pay for those services. We have seen a major shift. Some refer to it as fend for yourself federalism, where the money has been pushed down. I mean, the responsibilities are pushed down. Our budgets are increasing at the federal level. Basically, our debt is increasing, and therefore we're not paying for these. But let me respond to a couple of the issues that have been raised, rather than going in a long description of why we think this is a good position. One, we're not looking for a bailout. To the chairman's comment, least my view, is that local governments will have to do more with less from the state and from the federal government. But the question is what? Will the individual citizen be willing to pay for the services they get? And will we have a choice in terms of what services and at what cost? That's not always the case right now. We are, in fact, being mandated with certain responsibilities. People aren't making a decision whether they want to do that. Now, you can sort of say, how much decision do you have in terms of having clean water or not available to the public? I understand those concerns, but there's still a cost, which this state hasn't even started to deal with in terms of things like the Clean Water, the Clean Drinking Water Act, in terms of the cost of this state. We believe there's a benefit to both the administration, to the legislature, but also local government in this case, and we think that it should be reviewed as a partnership. I think the issues that we talk about in the HB 75, the operating budget or the capital budget, we're all talking about providing services to the public. We're not a corporation trying to gain money and pay off shareholders. We're basically trying to provide services. We are political subdivisions, and in fact, we provide many of those services that the public demands. And quite frankly, we are having a hard time with budgets. We are increasing taxes at the local level, and no question that we're not at the level that we were before the oil boom. And I think that's a problem, and we're having trouble getting back there, and we will get back there eventually. But even at the local level, we're talking about tax caps when we're at a level a lot lower than they were before the money started flowing. And it looks like the money, as well as the oil, is starting to stop flowing. We hope this isn't just another task force. But as far as the fiscal note, and as Representative Boyer said, I think that will be the key to this issue, not only in terms of the cost, but in terms of whether this effort will have any usefulness to anybody or anyone will care. We've had lots of task forces in this state where you just sort of ginny around and go around and get public input, and you pretty much know what the conclusion you'll draw from that, and it's sort of a legitimizing process. But that's not our intent. Here, we would like to have some hard facts, and we're looking at trying to keep this independent of both the local government and the state government in terms of the process, but obviously that's the input that we need in terms of the issues. We're talking about public funds for public services or issues. You can say local governments ought to contribute, but those are tax dollars. So are the money that we're spending here at the state. Essentially, they're tax dollars, whether they're tax on the oil company or fish or whatever. Those are the revenues, public revenues, to pay for public services, and we think the issue is here. This is the whole debate, it seems to me, in terms of providing public services to the people. When you talk about the capital budget or the operating budget, what you're talking about is how much of the public wealth and how do you distribute that back equitably and for what services. So I think that it's somewhat, it doesn't matter. I understand the ownership question, but quite frankly, to a large degree, municipalities believe that we have given 3.6 in terms of a cut to municipal assistance in terms of the governor's veto, which doesn't look like it's going to be back next year, much less restored. Senior citizens, in fact, you mentioned that program. Why aren't we just going to hear we want full funding of senior citizens? But the point is, the state is in fact taking local government revenues and saying this is a great program. We shouldn't get those revenues, we'll replace them and haven't been. So I guess it's a dollar. It doesn't really matter if it comes out of the local, of the public at the local level or at the state level, it's still public dollars. As far as credibility, Representative Miller, I think I understand what task force you're referring to back in 85, I believe it was, and it was a governor's task force on municipal assistance and revenue sharing or something like that. Basically, it came out of our policy statement, or at least was thrown on top of that, because we asked for a blue ribbon commission. Quite frankly, that was a hoax. It was an ability or an attempt to justify legislation that had already been introduced by the governor to deal with that sharing municipal assistance program. You got the wrong people on. If that was the intention, to take a look at the formula, you had the wrong people on it. Why would you have a bunch of mayors and legislators to talk about a formula? They're not the folks. You talk about policy when you have that group. You get finance officers and accountants when you're talking about formulas. So I didn't think that, and basically the conclusion was, why are we worrying about municipal assistance and revenue sharing? It's the Titanic and rearranging deck chairs. The funding was obviously going down. why do you want to change the formula? You may come out worse. So I agree. I hope that's not the result of this effort, and I don't think it has the same purpose. It's a much broader purpose. In some degrees, that makes it more complex. But it really, we're not starting off with any agenda here. Clearly, there's a concern by local governments, and I think by state government, and hopefully someday by the federal government, in terms of being able to pay for services to the public and making sure the public is willing to accept those. But Title 29 did work, you know, and that was a legislative task force, and you did have legislators involved. And I think the advantage of that is that you had people involved in the process that were going to carry it out at the end. I mean, I've said, look, we can't wait for the legislature to do this study, and all the time I get from my folks is, but if you don't get the legislature and the administration involved, all it is our study, and, you know, it's just another study, and there's no buy-in. And I think that's what's important about the task force and to have it come from this level. I understand your concern about what makes you think we're not going to just end up with the municipality saying full funding for this, full funding for that. Sure, we say that now. So I think in some ways we haven't won anything. If we don't do this task force, yes, that's all we will end up with. But as I said, I think that we will be taking on more responsibilities, whether it be and are, whether it be in the environmental area, whether it be in the transportation network, whether it be in education, I don't know. But at some point, you know, it all gets back to the public and what they're willing to spend money on and how many dollars we have. So with that, I don't want to belabor it. It's a big task. I think the hardest issue will be to focus, make sure we produce a product. I think that the worst thing we can do is not fund this adequately. You say, why don't the municipalities pay? I've discussed that a little bit. In terms of the league standpoint, we're all dues-based, so if we were to say, why don't the league pick it up, it's just a matter of going back to municipalities and saying, why don't you send some money, and basically those are tax dollars, and it all gets back to the same place. But I think we will be contributing. We want to contribute, and I think that my concern is that if we shortchange it, we definitely will make the process useless, and I quite frankly don't want to spend a lot of time on a useless study and just spending money. I think we need to spend enough, and I think it's a small amount compared to SB 141, the capital grants, and talking about sharing. I guess the municipality's response to that is, where does that fit in the overall picture? I mean, is that the whole capital budget? Is that part of another request? And that's sort of the issues that are here. Transfer of roads, class three roads, the governor's talking about $35 million to pay municipalities to take over those roads. Well, I mean, there are lots of issues involved in there in terms of whether they're just going to take over the roads. In exchange for what, or in lieu of what, or what? And I think that's those are the kinds of concerns that you've got, and we're talking whether it's $600,000 or $300,000. The reason it's $300,000, we sat back in the league and first talked about a grant that would just come to the league, and we'd basically go out and contract this. $300,000 is about half of our budget, so we don't have the staff to do it either. So, yeah, and I think we sat around and brainstormed yesterday with some state agency folk and others, and felt that if we really wanted this thing to produce a result, nickel and diamond, it isn't the way to get there. Portion to other studies, and quite frankly, there are a lot of task forces that deal with very specific issues, whether they be health care, whether they be permanent fund, or whatever. I don't see necessarily contributions from, quote, the industry on those task forces. We're talking about public services, and I think that's what we're talking about here.
Got a little side question here. Does the ML have a position on statewide income tax or statewide sales tax?
Yes.
What is that position?
We support income tax. We don't support state sales tax.
AML does support and is on record supporting establishing a statewide income tax.
Or reestablishing.
Questions from the committee? Representative
Chopin. Mr. Chairman, my concern about this project is a fiscal note. We've had a couple task forces through this committee already. I remember the one that Mackey introduced that came in with a healthy fiscal note and left here with a zero fiscal note. Everybody seemed to be pretty happy with what we accomplished. highly unrealistic today in this House, I believe. I think, as Representative Miller said, that obviously something we need to look at is how effective this will be if it does get established, and how much the legislature will go with the recommendations of the task force and the ideas that come out of the task force. And I think that the answer to that question is simply that the task force be set up in such a way that you do have a strong degree of representation from municipalities, local units of government, from state government, and also from the private sector. And that's my concern. I understand that we're probably going to do some work on this bill along those lines. And I think with as much as we support AML and just about everything that they do, I think it's I don't think it's realistic for any organization to come to the state and recommend funding at this level on a 100% basis for these types of targets.
Chairman?
Go ahead.
Representative Choquette. First of all, don't do it for AML. I mean, we represent the municipalities, and, you know, your partners in providing public services. You know, this isn't going to benefit AML at all in the sense of, certainly financially, if we're talking about the fiscal thing. I think the issue here is whose dollars are we worried about and whose dollars are we spending? To repeat my comment that if you spend these dollars, you're spending public dollars, and whether you collect them at the local level or at the state level, they're still public dollars. And I think the problem, the issue is this study may fail even at $600,000, but the cost of not doing something like this or taking a look at these issues, we're going to spend a lot of time in terms of meetings, in terms of throwing dollars. Someone mentioned, quote, throwing dollars down a rat hole or whatever, that are going to far exceed the amount, at least, of making a good attempt at dealing with this issue. And this issue is only an issue of providing public services.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, one more. Scott, I disagree with your analogy on dollars. Some are tax dollars. Some are sources of income from royalty. I disagree with your analogy there. But the point, I guess, I'm trying to get across, other than the concerns that I know a number of us on this committee have concerning the fiscal note, is that the obviously, the bottom line is that the task force completes what it set out to do, and it is adequately represented in the legislature. And that sort of is my concern. And my suggestion to you is that in order to accomplish that, if we can get all the players at the table, you know, all I see is a position from AML. I don't see any other position papers in here that deal with municipalities. So my comment was all-encompassing, not just your organization. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, may I make one comment, and then I think you need to hear from others. And I agree, maybe $600,000 is too much. And I basically took a resolution that's attached to your material to our membership and said, if we don't get support, I think we need to do this anyway, even as a league. And people saying how much and whatever. So, again, you know, you tell me, and I'll go back to the membership and see what, if there's a desire to come up with some amount of money, you know, we certainly can try that. But I think that that's, well, let me leave it at that. Let me just say one thing that I'm getting. 2 years ago, we had as our top priority in our platform a bill of mandates. And that came basically from pressure from Anchorage to basically get legislation, if not a constitutional amendment, as it's been done in other states, that says there will be no more transfers of responsibility from the state government to the local government without funds, and if the funds aren't there, then the municipality is not required to implement that law. Quite frankly, I don't think that that's realistic. I don't think it's going to get through the legislature at this point, but I can tell you that I'm getting pressure from municipality bankers saying, where's the bill of mandates? Because we came up with that platform. I couldn't even get the bill drafted by our own folks to sort of put it into the legislature. When they're saying, why isn't that bill now? I'm saying this is a good foundation to deal with that issue, to see if we can buy in both at the local level and the state level to whether, in fact, you know, we can get to that issue of mandates. That's sort of the big buzzword. You know, we talk about empowerment and other things, but requiring people to do something and who's going to pay for it. So I see that Representative Baker has gone too, but again, Anchorage is certainly there. They're saying, you know, stop. And I'm not sure that we're, as a state, we're ready to say, local governments, you don't have to do any more unless you ask us, we'll let you do it kind of thing. That's it.
I'd like to, if it's our committee, I'd like to hear from Mr. Garzini also before we run out of time on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Burgess.
I like Mr. Baker, but I have had some experience cutting budgets. I'm Ron Garzini, and today I'm representing myself as a professional local government manager and twice president of Alaska City Managers. I probably could be representing Kodiak. Certainly they support the league's position, but I feel more comfortable speaking as I view this particular issue. I can tell you HCR 17 is desperately needed. The relationship between the state of Alaska and its local governments is a mess. In fact, 4.5 years ago when I was president of the Alaska City Managers, we wrote a transition paper for Governor Cooper, and we said we need something similar to HCR 17, because we could see out years ahead that with the decline of Prudhoe Bay that things were going to get worse. Thanks to Governor Cooper's vetoes last fall, the problems we were pointing out came to light. His veto of third-class road maintenance funds, social service block grant funds, etc., were accomplished with the statement, these are local responsibilities, therefore they're the first to go. In addition, this year I've watched the legislature discussing Hillside Police and Anchorage, the problems of local jails and Kodiaks, and other city kinds of problems. Please be assured that these problems are the tip of the iceberg. They will be uncovered in tenfold when we start cutting the budget in a big way. If you cut state operating budgets 15%, let's just try that, I will bet you that every commissioner in state government will unveil things which they believe are local responsibilities that will be the first to go in their departments. And let me just throw out some that, you know, I dreamed this weekend when I wrote my testimony of things that I think commissioners will unload on local governments. And you guys, I might add. Troopers in Wasilla, troopers in other areas, for example, the urban area around Fairbanks, parks on the Kenai, campgrounds in and around the state may go from DNR. Services to the court system. Right now, Anchorage provides warrant officers, ticket prosecution, public defender service, prosecution of certain crime levels, local jails, class 3 roads, traffic signals within cities, fire marshal duties, elevator inspections, grants to clinic and health services, alcohol and drug abuse programs, daycare assistance, airports in small cities, boat harbors in cities, wildfire within boroughs, and if we had time, I could go on and on and on, having managed, Fairbanks Borough, Anchorage Municipality twice, City of Seward, and consulted with 6 cities, I can tell you that the local governments are in deep poo-poo down the road. Picture this, as you're cutting the state operating budgets, you're also going to be cutting revenue sharing, municipal assistance, school foundations, you're going to be reducing your senior citizen exemption reimbursement. At the same time, departments are going to be unloading programs. See, it was a double whammy. When Governor Cooper vetoed the municipal assistance program, DOT also unloaded the third-class road. So the local governments are sitting there getting hit from both sides. It was sort of like a sandwich. So all I can tell you is that the combination of budget cuts and transfers is a serious problem. One of the problems is that people are trying to deal with these problems one at a time. And I'll just stick my neck out, and I'll probably get shot for this. But for example, some of the efforts that are underway. I sat and listened to the DOT Class 3 roads transfer effort. And I can tell you, I felt like the only one in the room that knew it wouldn't work. Not because of political reasons, but because they don't understand the people out in the woods. I've worked with hundreds of service areas, and the guys in the service areas don't understand what's going on. And what's going to happen is this Class 3 road effort, if it got appropriated, wouldn't accomplish what you're trying to do. And I think in spite of the best efforts and the best intentions, the 15 Class 3 roads, which may or may not get funded, but even if it did, wouldn't work, in my opinion. The $60 million and the 50-50 match program, for a lot of reasons, won't work. And if it got funded, it wouldn't arrive at the desired result. So we've come up with a lot of half-baked ideas. I've watched some of these task forces in my career, and if you think back, you've never seen me on any of them. And the reason is I've never seen one that I thought would work. This task force, 4.5 years ago, the city managers of Alaska unanimously volunteered to work on it. And I believe that you could get a lot of help, the finance officers, the city managers, and others. The problem is that you've got a big PR problem. You've got to coordinate OMB. You've got to coordinate all of the state agencies. You've got to sell the local governments. You've got to get the people in the road service districts to come forward and talk to you. This is a major, major undertaking. When the Alaska Constitution was formed, the founders will tell you that they sort of gave up on the local government section. I mean, it was the last thing done. And when they rammed the boroughs down everybody's throat in 64, they just said, here they go, you're stuck with them. The local government part of Alaska government has really never been fleshed out. So what we need to do is literally create a contractual relationship between state government and local government that will witness decline. If we're not going to cut the budgets 10, 15, 20% over the next 10 years, we don't need to do this. We can doctor this thing a little bit. But I believe you folks will be forced to cut budgets, and I believe the local governments will be forced to cut budgets. I believe that there's going to be a lot of political fallout in the process. The best thing we can do is try and make some sense out of it. And I don't know whether the number is $0 or $600,000, but it should be a major, major effort. And it should involve an examination of bill of mandates, how people deal with urban, semi-urban, and rural in the lower 48. It should examine formula funding. It should involve backing out of some of the mandatory programs we force local governments to do, empowering some forms of local governments to do things, figuring out to do with 100 service areas and Anchorage and Fairbanks, and how to help these people continue to get their roads maintained, and so on and so forth. With that, I'll answer any questions, but it's a big project.
I agree with most of what you said.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do, too. I do agree with what you said. My only point is that you guys may come up with the best study in the world, but we're going to cram it down your throats anyway come budget time.
That's
right. Let me give you an analogy here. And I told Mr. Boyer, I might not use this, but I envision this very much like the City of Anchorage Fire Department. You know, we had a fire plant at the Captain Cook Hotel, and we said, all right, if the Captain Cook Hotel is on fire, we're going to run in and pretend like it is. And we located all the shutoff valves, all the elevator control devices, all of the fire doors, all of the exits, all of the places where we could get ladders in ahead of time. Because when we know that there's fire, there's no time to go figure it out how to fight it. And what I think we should do is to ask the state agencies, if your budget is cut 15%, what are you going to unload? Nobody's done that to my knowledge. And ask OMB to get out ahead of this thing. Ask the local government. Go meet with the road service districts and say, okay, we know that the Mat-Su Borough went bullshit when you suggested transferring, pardon my language, $40 million and giving us all our roads. That's what the Mat-Su Borough people said. No, thank you. Why? We've got to cut our budgets. How do we transfer this responsibility to local level in a satisfactory level? Now, that's going to take public communications, public understanding, research, a lot of effort. And so it's like a fire plan. And if we don't have to cut the budgets next year, don't implement the plan. But if we have to cut the budgets, we're prepared to do so.
Mr. Chairman,
Under that scenario, now this begins to make more sense, because you're going to have to, the folks that are on this and the leagues are going to have to realize that the legislature is going to do what they so well please. And if we're just going to cram these cuts down your throat.
Right.
And if it's a plan of looking down the future, down the road, that what happens when it's a 20% cut this year, a 15% cut the next year, what services are we going to have to take, looking at it that way. And I think that it makes a lot more sense in this task force, because that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, let me just pick one analogy that will help you see this. I think is the defect, in my opinion, in the $40 million Class 3 roads transfer is it envisions DOT cutting its operating budget as a result of the local people taking it. Okay. The local people have to take a station, some equipment, and an area. They just can't take one road and thereby reduce the DOT budget. See what I'm saying? So it'll have to come in a piece. Well, you have to go identify some pieces out in the Mat Valley where people are on the verge, there's enough money, there may be enough tax base, where it's transferable. There are some places in Alaska where there is no local entity with any tax base. And so maybe we should examine Montana, South Dakota, find out how they deal with the little bitty towns that have no wherewithal to provide public safety water systems. So you may need three different levels of
fuel tax, a motor fuel tax with dedicated funds to local government, which goes as a part of the transfer of Class 3 roads. So you almost have to have a step-by-step down step to the system.
The record should show that we're joined by Representative Broomberg. Representative Choquette.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman. Ron, I agree with a lot of what you said, and I do have experienced these types of frustrations as far as just who's got the responsibility here. In the same respect, Alaska's quite a bit different than Montana. At least in Montana, you can drive everywhere. And I think that our location and our size and everything else would mandate maybe some innovative ways to deal with the problems. And if it's the chairman's intention of putting this bill in a subcommittee, I'd like to serve on the subcommittee.
Chairman,
no, he's busy.
Well, why the chairman's discussing, my whole thing is I just want to caution that the task force is, whatever you expect us, the state, to do, don't expect the state to do it for long, because as soon as the cuts come down the road, we're going to ram them right down the city's throat. So that's what my caution is, that if they expect the state will always fund an X dollar amount on any given thing, I would caution the cities not to take that approach, because as soon as the cuts come, we're going to pass them on to you. That's been our history, and it probably always will be our history.
Just a quick response to that.
Mr. Pezzini?
There's nothing more frustrating when you're a city manager or a council member to hear that something you never heard of is your responsibility. And so that's a real frustrating experience, and I've had it happen to me a lot of times. I've laid off 300 people in one day in Anchorage when I got cut in revenue sharing and local transfers all at once. So it's a real-life problem.
Representative Breckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the Chair, I appreciate Representative Miller's comments, but I, as a legislator, certainly wouldn't want to ram something down somebody's throat without knowledge of what I was doing. This task force would help me in those hard decisions when we are cutting revenues back, to make wise decisions and do it gently and with practicality so it can be implemented well.
Representative Miller.
Just as a representative, if you're sat in this body any length of time, you will, many times you're going to ram things down your city's throat, whether you like it or not, you will, and you do it through the budget process.
Well,
basically.
Hopefully with knowledge beforehand.
A lot of precedent.
Right. And compassion, hopefully. In fact, we have to know if it works or not. Giving them a bunch of Class 3 roads and the inability to take care of them doesn't make sense to me.
Representative Miller.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if that's the direction that this task force goes in, I'm more supportive of it, because I think that's the right direction. But, you know, just expecting that the state, coming up with these formulas, that the state will always fund at this level or increase, that's the wrong level to go, because that will not happen. But if it's kind of the prevention, you know, or to know what will be coming their way so that they can plan in the future, I think that's the right way for the task force to be going.
Which means that the composition of this task force is obviously quite important. It may be that maybe we want to look at who does appoint those people also, not that the AML may not be the best group to appoint those five, but it may be that discussions with the governor and two leaders of each chambers may be a better way also to appoint that. That's something we can maybe talk about.
Thank you
for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to give input on this? We have no one from the governor's office on this bill at this time. My intentions on this is to hold this bill until our next meeting, which will be here in Juneau, which will be next Wednesday, to review this bill, the language on this bill between now and then. I will be informing Community and Regional Affairs that this bill will be moving out on Wednesday so that they can schedule, so they can tentatively schedule it pending that removal. Representative Buckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then would the sponsor have the amendments that you were planning?
We will set a discussion period on this on for Tuesday afternoon, time to be determined the next week. If you guys, what I'd like the committee to do, and I'm not going to make a subcommittee, it'll be a committee of the whole, to make any recommendations and have them ready for me by, say, Tuesday noon, so that people can look at them. But I do want to move this bill out on Wednesday morning.
Mr. Chairman, then, are you suggesting that this committee will send the bill down, or send the bill, it goes to finance, Mark? send it on without reviewing some of the options that might be open to us to fiscal, or just put a intent language that
we're open to finance? We're open to anything, but I would like to move the bill. So what I'd like you to do is, if you have ideas on it, if you could get them.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't particularly have any ideas other than that the damn thing is too high, and that I'd like to see a little more participation from the local units here. I would like to see any other way that Scott or Ron or the sponsor by Wednesday.
Can I have that note that you have?
No.
Any other comments by the committee?
Put forward to the work session.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to take up at this time House Bill 167. Next bill is House Bill 167 by the Governor. 167 proposes a new procedure for absentee voting by enabling personal representatives to make only one round trip to pick up a ballot, deliver it to the absentee voter, and return the ballot to the election official. HB 167 would also allow people confined to institutions to vote an absentee ballot by personal representative. I believe we have no one from the administration here to discuss this. I still want to hear this bill for a second because I want to make sure this is my first hearing on it so that I don't have to reschedule it.
Because I'm going to have a couple of amendments to this, and I'm getting my stuff down.
Mr. Chairman, the fact that you brought it up, I believe, qualified as a hearing on it, and then you can bring it up at any time.
Okay.
Because I think if there are going to be amendments, the administration should be involved in
it. I agree. Yeah, we will not move it. Have you guys looked at it?
Yeah, it looks good to me.
Mr. Chairman, we have one of my bills up in another committee now, and I need to get my staff down who's done the work on the vote. So if you give me a minute, I'll.
Why don't you just have it ready for our next either Wednesday or Friday of next week?
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate that a lot. And I will try to let people know what these are.
Yeah, in fact, why don't you just send us their amendments next, and we'll have them in their packets so people can see them.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Is that all you're going to take up today, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
You may be excused.
You may be excused.
Go ahead, Ben.
Don't we request a pass-through company?
What?
The Senate concurrent bone marrow?
Well, let's go get possession of that bill before we go on the floor today. That bill's been read out of committee, isn't it? And it's been assigned to us. Let's go see if we can track it down.
Can we do this?
Anybody going to object to me waiving bone marrow week?
No.
I'm going to do that on the floor today if we can get actually possession of the bill.
You want it?
The Senate and the House one? The resolution?
Okay. Do we have a House one on it?
Well, we have a fiscal one on the House.
Yeah.
I have the matching House ones, but Sam's, the Senate one was in passed yesterday. Mm-hmm. Anne's working on it.
Where is your House one? It's still in Hesse.
And the House has passed through the appropriation 211, and we did the resolution. We did the Senate resolution. The resolution yesterday passed.
All right. All I'm going to waive is the resolution.
Okay. Right.
There's
okay.
No fiscal note on the resolution.
Correct. No.
That's all I'm going to waive.
Or zero.
Okay. The bill will come to us still. Anything else?
No, sir.
Now, so you guys know, the next meeting of House State Affairs will be Monday, April 1st in the LIO, 1 p.m., 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We will have HB 11 and 20 and 122 officially on the record. And we will also be taking up, we also will have available several Senate bills dealing with longevity bonus that will be available. And we will not take any action. I may turn it into a work session. I don't know exactly how we'll do it, but we are on statewide teleconference, and we have a lot of interest in this. So if you'd like to be a bit, we would like anybody that can be there.
If a percentage of the constituency that I've talked to, and you're just going to be still hear from.
We're going to give them the opportunity to hear from. Other than that, also on following Wednesday, we will, I guess at that point I'll announce what's going to be heard on Wednesday.
Did you do the garden thing, or personally?
Yeah, you can sign it.